choke yourself just like a balloon.
Are there any other
DK raps?
No, I was going to say well-known video game
raps,
like in universe, because we've got DK in universe rap, right? Like they literally start doing
the Kongs
that rap.
Aren't the one rapping; it's an unseen vocalist.
No, but they know of the rap. You look at those fucking apes, and you're
they're doing a performance.
Yeah, they're very well aware of what's going on.
Those apes are so performative.
They're well paid apes.
Never have I seen as performative an ape until the Bored Ape Yacht Club live performance that blinded all those people with laser beams.
What? What is this?
Some NFT bullshit.
Oh,
that blinded
okay.
a bunch of people.
Oh, why am I not surprised? Of course, it's like, we blinded the stadium of people. What for? NFTs? You know, that does feel right.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to JoJo's World.
Good morning.
We've just broken from our usual tradition of having a very professional start of this podcast because we were talking during setup. Nick was giving me the latest on his Naruto watch.
No, okay. We need to...
He's Nick Valentine, one of your co-hosts, and I'm, of course, Liam S. Smith.
One of the co-hosts.
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay, So, I'm up to this bit, right?
In Naruto, colon, Shippuden.
So, I was explaining that they're about to go looking for Sasuke.
They being?
Fucking everyone from the Leaf
Naruto.
Village. So,
Kakashi.
Yeah.
Not Sakura.
No, Sakura is, but I was explaining to you.
Who else? Who else do I know? Shikamaru? Shikamaru?
No, he's not.
He's dog staying. Guy.
Yeah. Right. Shiba.
No, that's the Japanese dog. It can't be. That can't be his name.
I'm pretty sure that's
is
his
it
name.
Kiba?
Oh, maybe it is Kiba.
I know more about Naruto than you,
oh,
and I've never
no.
seen him. Inu.
Eno. I don't think
Eno is also part of a name of a dog in Japan.
I don't think
Kiba and Eno on the same team.
I refuse to believe.
So Kiba Inu.
Yeah, Kiba Inu. Let me actually think of it. So for anyone who is confused about where I'm at in Naruto Shippuden, I've had some Kakashi flashbacks. I've had Sasuke forming Hebi,
which I understand means snake.
Yeah, so he's killed.
And what is Hebi? Some sort of secret society for ninjas?
So you know how you've got, like, the Leaf Village, and they're, like, a little organization.
They're Pallet Town.
But you've got the Akatsuki, which is, like, a group of nine guys that are just doing their own thing.
Okay.
It's more
they're
like...
just some guys.
Yeah, quite literally, the Akatsuki is, as far as I can fucking tell, a group of nine guys that are just doing their own thing.
Can you put this in One Piece terms for me?
So imagine a pirate ship.
I'm imagining a pirate ship.
You know how they're not...
I'm still imagining it.
Think it through. No. Think about the deck.
Yeah, the deck.
Now think about
the varnish.
Think of the bow.
The masthead. Ooh, a sexy lady on the front of the boat.
She's got
that's
dragon
what they do,
eyes.
Right?
Always. You need something at the front to give you good luck. Okay, so imagine that, right? The Akatsuki is like a pirate ship with like nine dudes on it.
Okay.
And they're really interested in sabotaging the world order so that everything turns to shit, and they're like, we're the war economy, right? That's basically what they're all about. Hebi is another smaller, shittier pirate ship that involves...
I think this metaphor is just making things more confusing. Go back to pure Naruto.
Okay, so Sasuke formed Hebi.
Kakashi formed Hebi.
No. Kakashi is with Leaf Village.
Yep.
Akatsuki is Itachi, which is Sasuke's brother. But he's just a pawn in it.
Doing their little...
Their little war economy bullshit thing. And then fucking Sasuke has formed Hebi, which is him and three other random people we never knew before he formed Hebi. As he just goes and frees them from like prisons or goes and is like, hey, you work for me now. Whatever. That's Hebi. That's how you form a ninja organization, is you just go find some people and go, hey, I got a great idea.
Snake club.
Yeah, I'm going to go find my brother and kill him. And they're like,
cool.
All right.
I'm a ninja.
Yep.
Got nothing better to do.
Yep. Anyway, point being of all of this, right? He's formed Hebi, and now they're off to find Sasuke. And by they, I mean like Kakashi, Naruto.
Rock Lee.
Not Rock Lee.
Light Guy.
Not Guy.
Ten-Ten.
Nope.
Hinata.
Yes, Hinata.
Hinata's brother.
No, not him.
That kid that's Naruto's rival.
Oh, the Hokage's grandson? Yeah. No, not him.
Him, the definitely bug not. Guy.
Yes, him, yes.
what other Naruto characters do I know?
just from me going, so this guy uses this thing, and you're like,
Gaara. Oh,
not Gaara, he's dead.
Gaara's, what?
Oh, wait, no, he's alive.
Okay.
He was dead, but Gaara's he's alive.
Gaara's friend with the fan.
Tamari?
Sure.
No, not her.
Okay. Gaara's friend with, like, the nope. sand puppet.
Nope, not him. Definitely okay. not him. That's his brother, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Zabuza.
Weirdly, no, but Sasuke has his protege. Okay. Sort of. Sort of. Vague protege vibes.
The girl from the ramen stand.
Oh, I wish. I wish. She has a great bit, though. She has a great bit. Anyway, point being, all sure. these people have assembled.
I'm done naming Naruto. Yeah. Oh,
I'm done. No, I'm not.
What's the name of the Hokage?
The
lady.
Oh, Tsunade?
Yeah, Tsunade. She's there.
Well, she is to say, now fuck off okay. and find him. And then she goes back to work.
Great.
So,
continue.
So basically,
I'm done being rude now.
Yeah, so they're forming. So they're forming like their little party, right? And Kakashi's all like, all right, listen, we're going to split up into teams, but we're going to have no teams. In the sense that you're going to be on your own. We're going to split up. And then Sakura's like, wait, but teams at a bare minimum, you need two people in a ninja team. And Kakashi goes, hang on a second. Summons a bunch of dogs, right? So you know how Jiraiya, Naruto's mentor guy?
Sure.
You know how he summons toads?
Let's say.
Or frogs.
Oh, hang on. No, we did talk about the toad guy.
Yeah. So Kakashi, for some reason, has dogs.
Okay.
And he summons.
Even though that's honing. I suppose he is the copy guy, isn't he?
He is such so a even copy though guy.
So he stole these dogs from the dog clan, I presume.
I don't know. I don't know anything about the dogs, but I assume it'll get explained somewhere. Anyway, so he summons these dogs and he says, all right, each of you gets a couple dogs. So each of them get two dogs, except for Naruto, who gets a big boy and Hinata, because they're trying to hunt down Naruto.
Who?
The Akatsuki.
Who are not the people they're looking for.
Exactly. They're looking for Itachi.
So there's a game of cat and dog and mouse going on yes. here.
Yeah, it's like Sasuke's looking for Itachi. Itachi's looking for Naruto. Naruto's looking for Sasuke.
It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah. So they're all like, all right, we're going to go hunt down Sasuke. Everyone, split up. We'll go looking.
Split up and search
for
clues.
So we get a bunch of shots where it's...
So like, do the dogs run messages between them or what's going
yeah,
on
so the
here?
Whole point is that the walkie-talkies won't work because they're too far away. Therefore, okay. the dogs will act as
don't
the
don't they just have mobile phones?
No.
It's modern times, right?
No, it's definitely not.
They have microwaves and shit.
Yeah. What it's not, have? No. No, it's ninjas. Okay. It's definitely ninjas. So the walkie-talkies won't work because it's outside like 500 meters or something. So Kakashi's like,
and
don't worry.
They don't have phones.
And so Kakashi goes, don't worry. The dogs can talk to each other.
How?
I don't know. They just sort of said it and I went, okay, sure. So
we can use our stands to talk to each other underwater.
So the thing is, we get a bunch of shots where they're all like
that's
jumping
my Arv Doll impression.
They're all jumping like through trees and like doing their hunts.
Doing
and stuff.
Some ninja shit.
Yeah, doing
are
some
the dogs
ninja shit.
Also jumping through trees.
Yeah. They're like literally right next to them.
Okay.
But they're all like on their lonesome with the dogs, and then they're all like, I have to find Sasuke.
This world is just forests for having fights in and yes. villages, right?
Yeah, specifically in the Land of Fire. Otherwise, it's a desert that you have fights in, which is like the land of fucking...
Sand.
I don't know.
Makes sense.
Probably. Where the sand village is. Or an ocean, which is like the land of water.
Oh, I suppose there's probably also yeah. low-lying streams with rocky terrain around them.
Yeah.
For having or fights
like,
in water.
Yeah, or like a valley with one bridge on it.
Sure.
Which I keep thinking is the same bridge every time any bridge comes up. But I don't know.
Could be.
Could be. Anyway, so they're all jumping around these trees. And they're all like, all right, I need to find Sasuke. I need to do it. Except when it gets to Sakura,
mm-hmm.
she, for some reason, is just sadly walking through the town.
The town they live in?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's the town they live in.
She's shirking her duties.
And she's all like, do you think Sasuke likes me? And one of the dogs just immediately goes, shut up. Stop being such a dumb bitch, all right? Look, you gotta be happy, you know? Otherwise, no one's gonna fuck you. And she's all like, what? That's very rude of you, dog. And he's like, ah, fuck you. Look, if you wanna be cool, you gotta be happy. And she's like, you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe Sasuke does like me. And he's all like, ah, you're a dumb broad, aren't
has
you?
Has she seen Sasuke, like, since he left?
She has seen him, yes. Like, within probably the last couple weeks, I want to say.
Did they interact?
Sasuke stabbed Naruto, and that was kind of it, I think. Or maybe
Sakura needs someone to get some self-esteem.
Yeah. I don't think you realize how bad the women are written in Naruto. Like, we're talking at every opportunity, Sakura is meant to do something cool, and then she is forbidden from doing that thing. And it's like, why? Why didn't you just let her punch him? It's like, no. We can't let her have this. And you're like, okay, who's going to do it instead? Ah, Naruto.
Sasuke.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes it would be Sasuke. Yeah. But anyway, whole point of this being, I don't know Toby's deal.
I don't know who that is.
So, anyone who's seen Naruto probably knows who Toby is. I don't fucking know who Toby is. Toby's just some fucking guy who's like, oh no, I'm useless. And then about 30
seconds. T-O-B-I?
Yeah. Okay. And then 30 seconds later, it's like, oh yeah, by the way, I killed that like nine-tailed beast. And I'm just sitting there going, you did fucking what? But he what?
God, they're really pushing this new character hard for SummerSlam, aren't they? Okay, this is JoJo's World, our JoJo's Bizarre Adventure recap and discussion podcast, where today we are talking about the
22nd? I want to say. I'm going with 22nd. I'm putting it all on the line.
22nd out of 26.
Oh, always pick 22.
Episode of Bubblegum Crisis Tokyo 2040, entitled Physical Graffiti.
A good name.
Yeah?
You said that it would be a good name for a D&D character.
No, I didn't.
You made the joke.
No, I didn't.
I want to believe you
did. I didn't.
And therefore you did.
did you hallucinate that?
No, you were just like, hi, I'm physical graffiti.
No, I didn't do that.
You absolutely did.
No, I didn't.
Liam, I've got bad news.
Nick, genuinely, I did not do that.
Now your memory is as bad as mine.
No, you're thinking of when they were showing all these wide shots of the city, and I said, wow, look at all of that physical graffiti.
No, when the title card came up of physical graffiti, you were like, hi, I'm physical graffiti.
No, I wasn't.
Did you instinctively do it?
I didn't.
Did I do it?
No, no one did.
Am I going crazy?
Maybe.
Are we gaslighting each other?
No, I'm telling the truth.
And I'm telling the truth.
The Mandela effect.
What the fuck is the Mandela effect?
Mandela effect.
Oh, what's the Mandela effect?
I'm not getting into
it. Okay, all right.
You should know this.
I know Nelson Mandela. I know nothing about Nelson.
Do you know
Mandela.
About the Berenstain Bears?
Yes.
Good. Okay, you're halfway there.
Wait, what? Okay. The year is Tokyo 2040.
The year is Tokyo 2040. The year Tokyo. The place 2040.
The people, the Night Sabers.
Physical Graffiti is an album by Led Zeppelin.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
The sixth studio album released in 1975.
Does it have... It wouldn't have the Hindenburg on the cover. Does it have a bunch of, like, clocks?
It has a bunch of building.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, never mind. I got it completely wrong.
Okay. According to Wikipedia, it was commercially and critically successful.
Led Zeppelin being successful?
I don't see it.
Nah.
Not actually a huge fan.
Was that the one with Kashmir? I want to say, as I lean into the mic more.
Yes. So clearly you know a lot about Led Zeppelin. Tell me more.
Led Zeppelin are pretty good. They've got bangers like Kashmir. I think Robert Plant, who's the singer.
Oh, I remember all of some zombies who appeared for, I want to say, about four panels in the climax of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Phantom Blood, were named, or their names, Paige.
Paige Plant.
Yeah.
And then the other two.
The other two.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure there's like a whole thing of like Robert Plant was so good as a singer that he only ever did one take and then was like, great, next song. And that's all
they've
used. One
take Plant, they called him.
Yeah. And literally everyone was like, oh my God, they're amazing. And then you listen to them and you're like, they can't be that good. Okay, they're pretty good. They're all right. Okay. Because they just broke such new ground, you know?
Songs on this album included Custard Pie, The Rover, In My Time of Dying.
A banger.
Houses of the Holy.
Oh, huge.
Trampled Underfoot.
Massive song.
Kashmir.
Yeah.
In the Light. Bron Year Or.
Yep.
Am I saying that right?
I have no idea.
Okay. Down by the Seaside and 10 Years Gone.
Oh, huge
Night
album.
Flight, The Wanton Song, Boogie with Stew, Black Country Woman, Sick Again.
Is this just listing all the songs on the album on Wikipedia?
Yeah.
Why are they going through all the songs on Wikipedia? Do they have like a full breakdown of every song? That this is weird to me.
Shouldn't be.
Well, normally like albums just have like
300 some episodes into this podcast. This shouldn't be weird to you.
But like normally on Wikipedia, they're just like, Here's the album. Here's some facts. Get on with your day.
Physical Graffiti ranked 144 in Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Albums of All Time.
I'm giving the biggest eye raise I possibly can.
Eye raise?
144.
Is that too high or too low?
That's way too low. I would have thought that they'd
rank it. When you say low, do you mean the number is too low or the ranking is too low?
The ranking. The ranking's too low.
You would put it at 44.
Yeah, absolutely.
Often considered by critics as their artistic peak, Physical Graffiti is the sixth album by Led Zeppelin in as many years.
Yep.
John Paul Jones had grown disillusioned with the band and threatened to quit, but manager Peter Grant convinced him to take a break for a few months, and then they recorded these songs. Custard Pie is a no-frills, straight-up hard-rocking song, which goes into Rover, an outtake from the Houses of the Holy sessions. Crazy to think a song as good as this had previously landed up on the cutting room floor.
But that's just Led Zeppelin, baby. When you're dealing with pure gold, you sometimes got to get rid of a few million dollars, if you know what I mean.
I don't. Neither I'll do never I. get rid of a few million dollars because I'll never have that.
Yeah.
Quote, each member is so unique and important that each would be impossible to replace. Hence the reason it's admirable they decided to cease their existence following Bonham's death. Also, my favourite squeaky drum pedal makes its return on this album. Just what a great way to finish your little review.
Yeah. But then, like, didn't,
Don't know.
Didn't fucking, someone went on and was just like, yeah, you know what? I'm gonna do, like, Led Zeppelin.
The air conditioner's been running this whole time.
Oh.
Well, sorry if there's been air conditioner noise on the track until now.
But hey, that's JoJo's baby? Question mark?
That's the lo-fi sound you come to us for.
Listen, we've got ASMR, we've got, lo-fi beats to chill to, and we've got us explaining Naruto to each other and how memory works.
It's fine. I'll just, if it's noticeable, I'll do what I can to filter it out, but if it's noticeable, I'll just put a note at the top of the episode explaining that it only asks for the first 20 minutes of Naruto conversation.
This is our JoJo's Bizarre Adventure recap and discussion show, where we recap Naruto and discuss Tokyo Bubblegum.
Tokyo Bubblegum. On this episode of Tokyo Bubblegum, Physical Graffiti, you may remember last time that the aquarium, not to be confused with the prison in Stone Ocean, but the aquarium surrounding the Silky Doll, is getting invaded by boomers who have climbed up to the top of the building and are going for a nice little swim.
And they're all like, ah.
It's true, they are.
Mm. And they're just banging, crashing against
the same smash sound effect over and over again.
Oh my God. It literally like is the same sound. And it's like, oh my God, use two sounds at the very least.
There's some good shots of everyone looking pretty concerned before the Night Savers spring into action and go put their robot suits on and leaving the boys to just stare at the bots.
Yeah. We get a nice shot of one of them like scraping their fingers across the glass.
Nigel's just in his pajamas plugging the goo units into the goo receivers.
Yep. The ladies strip down and are all like,
oh no, there's boomers watching us get naked. And there's just these guys. There's just these guys in the like top right of the change room.
Yeah, and they're just like, ugh.
And then they cut away. It's like, don't worry, they're just boomers. Then it cuts back and then a third one joins them.
And they're obviously they're being like, we want to suck your blood, but they just can't get in.
They just kind of came across as like, ooh, pretty lady.
I mean, that's what, look, I'm not saying that's what we're like, but I am saying.
It's true. Clearly. The voyeuristic nature of television makes us into the boomers in this scene.
It's true. I'm that one. The very wide eyes.
And I'm the one doing the sort of Slav squat.
I can't not see it now. Because one of them
and
has
the listener
like
is the one who's
upside down.
Adding with a third layer of voyeurism, just kind of peeking in behind us.
Who's just like, hey,
that's
guys.
That's you, listener.
Yeah, we respect you. Huh. But at the same time, you're that freak that's looking at the naked women with us.
The naked women stop being naked because they cover themselves in goo then metal.
But the goo is metal.
Yes.
Living metal.
But they're still naked under the suits. And in a way, aren't we all naked under our own clothes?
Yes. No, keep going. Say that my clothes are metal.
No, I'm done.
Ah, damn it. I wanted my clothes to be cool.
Well, you should have gone to a different store then.
I should have gone to a lingerie store.
The Silky Doll.
Yeah, I should have gone to the Silky Doll that specializes in living metal dresses.
They're all, you know, their hard suits all look cool. They all function underwater. It's good to know.
Yeah, thankfully.
Because they get back into the computer room where everyone was gathering before. Security bunker, I don't know.
There's a weird earthquake that Nigel's all... Not Nigel, Leon is all like...
An earthquake again.
What's all this about?
You know, everyone's having a bad day.
Yeah.
And they realize the glass is going to break open soon. Marky pockets a fistful of floppy disks because it's 2040.
And that's money.
My precious antique floppy disks.
I can't even think of the last time we used floppy disks, like as a society.
Windows 98, maybe?
But like, you know how like nuclear
floppy
codes...
disk drive? Oh yeah, those big floppy disks.
Yeah, the
those big,
big ones.
Sort of vinyl record size ones. As seen in Control, it gives you the power to, I want to say, do telepathy.
Launch nukes onto some
telekinesis,
countries?
Rather.
But like, do we even use them?
Oh, because the power is called launch, and it's the launch codes thing. That's smart. Good work, Remedy Entertainment.
Are you having one of those, like, string from this photo to this photo connected? Alan Wake kind of, like, corkboard moments?
Yeah.
What does it mean? What does the launch mean? Like, what is it?
Because it's your power is grab object,
telekinesis,
then launch it at your enemy. Mm. And you get it from grabbing an artifact of power, which is a big floppy disk with nuclear launch codes on it.
Launch.
Who's launch? Goku's friend.
Goku's friend? Goku has friends?
So
they're all coming in and they smash the glass.
And they're all like, Leon's got his head on a swivel. He knows what's up. Though I do kind of miss Daly.
Is Daly just gone now?
He just left the show. Mm. He's like, I'm leaving Tokyo to go back to my family farm that I hated because they were homophobic to me in the subtext.
Yeah, and then everyone else is like, well, we're going to stay here because...
We're the protagonists.
We're the protagonists.
Not me. Daly out. Yeah, Leon's got his head on a swivel, and he's like, who can't swim? The people who can't swim are Maisio the butler and Nene, but she's in her hard suit, so it doesn't matter.
She's fine.
She's just, who can't swim? And she's like in a really quavery voice, like, me.
I never got to learn.
Raising her hand.
I never got to learn when I was younger. It's like, but you are young. It's like, that's what I mean.
You hang out, like, every day at your friend's pool, and you can't swim.
No, they don't hang out at the pool. They hang out underground.
They have had at least one pool party in this show.
Oh shit, you're right. They have had a pool party. Oh, that was very risky, Nene.
Learn to swim. Maybe we're just speaking with our
Australian
beach-based lifestyle upbringing.
Yeah, mate, you gotta learn to fucking swim, eh?
You gotta learn to swim.
Listen, mate, you can't go fucking to the beach.
What will you do if you're on the Titanic and it goes down if you can't swim? You can't swim back to shore.
No, but I'll get on a lifeboat. Like, what? Hang on. Wait, I'll get on a lifeboat, right? No need to swim, just get on the lifeboat.
I'll save us the Jack LaLanne way.
Wait, didn't Jack die?
A different Jack.
Oh, a different Jack, okay.
Simpsons thing.
Right. Yeah, no.
Yeah, learn to swim, but if you can't swim, be in a mech suit with jet engines.
Fair. Yeah. The ultimate solution to any problem.
The water gradually fills up the room. Leon's got his gun, but it's pretty ineffectual given the circumstance. But there is a lot of good shots of underwater fighting as the Night Sabers rip and roar through
mook boomers. Yeah.
And it's both cheaper on the animation, but enhancing the verisimilitude of the scene in that they move in that slow underwater fighting way. Mm. Like you're watching that one James Bond movie with like a 40-minute underwater fight scene. Or, as I compared it to you while we're watching it, the fight that occurs in the comedy spy movie Top Secret.
Now, I haven't seen Top
Secret. I've only seen it once on SBS when I was in my teens. Classic SBS, that's the multicultural broadcaster here in Australia.
Yep.
Classic SBS late night movie that you just see and you'll never see again. I think it's a parody of... It's a spy parody movie, but I think it's also... It parodies, like, you know, those Elvis movies.
Oh, the really bad Elvis movies?
Yeah, I think the protagonist is like a pseudo Elvis.
Okay.
Anyway, so this pseudo Elvis, and I may be getting all of these details wrong, like, gets suckered into, like, it's like East Berlin, West Berlin stuff, I think. You know, Cold War spy shit.
Yeah. Top secret
spy. Or it
spy
could
shit.
Also be French resistance against the Nazis. I also can't remember.
Top secret Nazi shit.
It could be both, because that's the kind of movie it is, honestly.
Oh, bullshit.
But the protagonist and this other guy get into this big brawl, like big comedy movie brawl. And at one point, their brawl takes them into the river.
Mm-hmm.
And they brawl their way down to the bottom of the river, where there's an underwater cowboy saloon. And they have an underwater cowboy brawl, where they're like, slowly, because it's underwater, like smashing bottles on their heads and things like that. It's a good fight scene.
So is this
and that's
like
the, that's the vibe of this.
Is this like a Naked Gun kind of comedy?
I think so. I haven't seen the Naked Gun.
Where it's like just absurd?
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's like, there's like a scene in Naked Gun where it's like a guy's like, wait a minute, I'll assemble my gun. And the guy's like, all right, sure. And he like pulls out a briefcase. Mm. And he, like, starts putting the silencer on his
I think it must
pistol.
Be against the Nazis, because at one point they link up with the French resistance. Sorry, I'll let you finish your
Yeah,
your
it's like, he, like
your
this
anecdote.
Yeah, so this dude is, like, putting on a silencer, and then he gets, like, the hold on the back, mm-hmm. and then he gets, like, another barrel and attaches it to the side, and then gets, like, a laser sight.
Yeah.
Cuts back to the other guy, cuts back, and then he's putting, like, the folds on his machine gun
Sure,
out,
yeah.
And he's getting the belt, and then it, like, folds back, comes back. And then he's, like, setting up the cannon armature and, like, doing all this shit. And then he ends up with a full anti-air gun. And he's like, ba-dunk.
Yeah.
Gotcha,
same vibe,
man.
Same
yeah,
vibe.
Yeah, same vibe. Okay.
So the parallel to that scene in this movie that, once again, I've only seen once,
yeah.
is it must be against the Nazis because I think they link up with the French resistance. And mm-hmm. the French resistance member that I remember mm-hmm. is Chocolat Mousse, a sort
oh,
of
yes.
B.A. Baracus type, the A-Team, Mr. T.
Like the... Oh, like the head guy of the A-Team?
No, Mr. T.
Wait, his
Mr.
name was
T,
Baracus?
B.A. Baracus.
Is his name not just Mr.
No,
T?
No, that's the actor's name.
I thought the actor's name wasn't Mr. T, and that the guy's name was Mr.
It
T.
It doesn't matter, let's keep going.
Okay, sure. Yep.
Where Chocolat Mousse gets out his Thompson machine gun with the big Chicago typewriter drum.
Yep.
And a bunch of his allies are brawling with the Nazis or whoever they
yep.
are. And he just fires a spray across the room. You know, wild, classic wild machine gun spray,
fun.
Horizontal.
Yep.
And just hits all of the enemies and none of his allies.
Incredible. Oh, you'll love to see it. Maybe we should watch Top Secret.
I think I'll just watch it in my own time. I'll report back on if it's good.
Yeah.
I do remember there is a scene where they're sort of pantomime horsing their way as a cow through a field. And then, like, a baby cow comes up to suckle on the mother cow's teat.
Yeah.
And it's like the guy's getting a blowjob. And also the back cow was wearing gumboots.
Maybe I have seen this film. Because that sounds weirdly familiar. Everything else doesn't sound familiar at all, but this does
the
sound
The cow
familiar.
Blowjob scene really sunk into my memory.
Like, something about it just really, like, I'm in it, you know? It's in there. It's in my, like, in my brain. And it's impossible to find an answer to this because my phone refuses to connect to the internet.
I might have to give you my Wi-Fi here because all the other apartment buildings kind of insulate us from G.
Oh, okay. There's four floors. I've only got four Gs, you know? Mm-hmm. Each floor is one G.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Do you actually want the password now?
No, it's fine. I'll look at it later. I'll find Top Secret if I don't forget it on the way home.
They cut through some boomers underwater. It looks like Top Secret and also James Bond.
Yeah. It looks like Sean, very brief aside, did you know Sean Connery?
I've heard of him.
Played James Bond. I know. So
that was a brief aside.
So... when there's a scene where James Bond is going up against some sharks, right?
Sure.
Apparently, they never told Sean Connery...
that there'd be sharks.
That there'd be real
Classic
sharks
Classic throwing
the
birds at Tippi Hedren
yeah.
move.
So apparently the fear on film where they release the sharks into the water is very real.
Yeah.
And also, Sean Connery has a phobia of sharks.
Oh, good.
So they were like, all right, listen, to get him to do this scene, we probably can't tell him that the sharks will be there. Just fucking do it anyway. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
God, movies used to be so real, didn't they?
I know. I know. Do you remember that time it was like the Lars von Trier film and they were just like, yeah, we'll just improv an orgy. And you're like,
Dogma 2, The Idiots or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
Had to watch that for that. That was a very uncomfortable film.
Yeah. Everyone in my English tutorial was like, so...
didn't like this one.
Yeah, we were all like, so that was weird, right? That was a weird film. I was like, yeah. Would you say it was a good film? I was like, I don't know.
It was no The Draftsman's Contract.
Now that's a banger.
That's
of
a movie.
That's a fucking
That's
film.
A murder mystery, but you don't realize it for the first like 45 minutes.
I was going to say you don't realize it for the first 2 hours.
Yeah.
Because that film is long.
Yeah.
So they're going
Listen,
up this
now, equator. Watch The Draftsman's Contract.
I watched the opening scene of that again on YouTube the other day. And the bit where the dude's like eating, I think it's like a plum or something.
Yeah, like a pomegranate
yeah.
or something.
And he's all like, I've heard that this is the rumor going around. And I'm just like, oh, aristocrats.
They've all got that like hide your syphilis makeup on.
Yeah, yeah, it's rough. God, what happened to the good old days?
Movies.
Movies.
You know, they used to throw a bird at an actress who was afraid of birds, or dip an actor who was afraid of sharks in the shark tank.
Yeah. Or shoot an actor with real bullets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or fire a real Thompson machine gun at your real allies who are brawling with real Nazis, but only hit the Nazis.
Yeah. Or not shut down production after shooting someone with real bullets.
Or killed some children in a helicopter accident and not have it ruin your career.
Yeah, you know, those were the days, you know?
But they do cut through real boomers to make this scene.
And let me tell you, they had workers' rights.
So this whole show was rotoscoped, which is, as I understand it, contrast to when I incorrectly explained it, what is in a long past episode. It's when they get a live-action actor to go through the motions and then draw over it.
Are you talking about Bubblegum Crisis Tokyo 2040?
Yeah.
The whole show
I'm making this up.
Oh, okay, good. All right, continue. As you were.
The whole show is rotoscoped, so they caused a real boomer apocalypse to get the footage.
That makes a lot more sense. Mm. Yeah. This is what the downfall of Japan in the 90s was all about.
2040s.
No, the 90s. This is where they got the footage from.
Oh, the lost generation.
Yeah.
After the bubble economy.
Yes. Yeah.
Lost decade, I think it is.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And I'm tired of talking about it.
The point being is that they're slaying these boomers.
Like nobody's business. Lina's new hair whips are so easy to animate because you just do a shot of a boomer screen. And then like one line of white and then the boomer slides in half.
Yeah, and it's literally like the whole screen is black, classic anime, whing, and then the boomers are just gone.
Nene doesn't actually do any fighting in this sequence, as far as I can tell. No shooting of those needle guns.
I think she shoots it to save Marky, maybe, but then struggles to stay alive because she can't swim.
Yeah, but, you know, Pris is punching through boomers with her big old fists. Mm.
And she can swim.
Yeah.
She can swim through society.
I will say, as we immediately went underwater, there was a nice underwater ripple effect on the camera for the first few shots.
You immediately said, wow, they really blew the budget with this underwater ripple effect. Because
the shots prior to that, as the water was rising, were clearly also budget light.
Yeah.
Because it was still frames of people being in water, then cut away, then the water is higher.
It's like the classic 90s anime, we will reuse this.
I think we've been neglecting discussion of sound in this a bit since I switched from written notes to photo notes.
Mm-hmm.
But I will point out that we were treated for basically the whole runtime of this episode to the two synth-heavy tracks this show uses.
Wait, there was a second song?
I think so. There was the one with the piano plinking. Doo-doo-doo-doo.
That's the same song, isn't it?
Boo.
Isn't it?
And then the other one that I can't remember right now, so it might be the same song.
I could have sworn, because I thought four songs, and they were all
could
that
be a
one
different
song.
Movement of the same song.
Oh, it could be. It
tonally
could be.
Different, though. One of them is more ominous, and one of them is more, I'm giving exposition about the nature of humanity right now.
Mm, or, like, I have a backstory that needs explanation at this exact moment that has no relevance to anything that's about to happen.
They escape, and somehow off-screen they get their van that they can use as a mobile command base.
Yeah, how...
Maybe it was parked at Nigel's. We don't know.
We don't know.
We just don't know.
It's impossible to say what Nigel's plans really are.
I think he wants to drink whiskey and be depressed.
And as an aside.
And begrudgingly have sex with Celia.
Quote unquote, begrudgingly.
Am I wrong?
I mean, it's a bit more than I don't even think he's... I don't think he knows that he's having sex because he's so deep in his depression.
That's right, they get outside and the whole city has gone full H.R. Giger style.
Mmm. Like, we're talking all the buildings have veins.
Yeah. And, like, some of those veins have, like, metal bones coming out of them, like little tarsals and metatarsals.
Yeah, it's all, like, the next stage of evolution is just boomers everywhere. Yeah.
That big underground centipede that eats boomers, there's, like, six of those feasting on one of those power lines.
Celia looks at it as like, look at it. It's a nightmare.
It's a real, H.R. Giger fusion of flesh and technology, cyberscape.
Yeah, but less vaginal imagery.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Mm.
For now.
Equally sexual, less vaginal.
And the sun abruptly comes up.
You know, like in video games where the day-night cycle is
It's a bit
simulated.
Too fast.
Yeah, it's like, it's simulated. And then it's like, whoop.
Yeah.
And now it's daytime.
You're that like, happens.
Oh, okay.
That happens, but our characters are in shot for the whole thing.
Yep. And they're like, oh my God.
Daytime.
Look at it. It's a nightmare. It's just boomers.
It's like a whole different ecosystem, they say. And then a huge tendril of flesh metal erupts through the center of the building, and they're like, we better get out of here.
It turns out that that building was right on the dragon line.
Mm, which was great for power back when...
Back when we needed
it. Back when it wasn't the boomer apocalypse.
Yeah.
Just like the national broadband network will one day go mental here and cause all of our routers to grow tentacles and eat us.
You know what's amazing to me, right, about the NBN, okay? Anyone who lives outside of Australia... The NBN, aka the National Broadband Network,
was a
failed, disastrous plan by the Australian government originally.
Well, the initial plan wasn't so failed and disastrous.
No, the initial plan was great. It was basically
to upgrade our outdated copper-based telecommunication infrastructure to high-quality fiber bullshit.
Literally, it's like, what is the fastest possible way of transferring information? Fiber optics. Okay, just put that in the ground instead of copper.
And then a change of government happened.
And then the Libs decided, you know what? What if, instead of upgrading...
An explainer for international listeners. The Libs here are, of course, the Conservative Party.
Yeah, so we have it backwards where Labour is sort of conservative and then Libs are slightly more conservative. So we have two conservative choices most of the time. But for some reason, one of them is just called the Liberals. Wow, what a naming convention. Anyway, so... For some reason, instead of saying, all right, fiber goes from, like, the switch or whatever it is to the home.
The node.
No. Originally, the switch to the home, right? Fiber to the premises, mm-hmm. as we know it now.
Yeah.
Now they're just like, what if instead of upgrading the copper, we just used copper? And every telecommunications person went, what the fuck
because
are you
Wi-Fi
on?
Because Wi-Fi is good, right? They said.
No, they literally said, no one needs fiber to the premises. Right? Like, copper delivers more than enough information. And everyone went, that's not the fucking point. What the fuck is wrong with you? So they went, okay, well, how about this instead, right? Instead of just having copper, what if the fiber goes to a node and then it locally uses copper to get to the premises? And everyone went, why the living fuck would you ever do that? And so now in Australia, the National Broadband Network takes the fiber to a node. And that node locally distributes
to the
premises.
So it goes fast to a point, and then it goes slow enough that it's like it was never upgraded.
Yeah, literally it's basically that. Except some areas get fiber to the premises. And those areas...
Are wealthy.
And very, very, very expensive to get into now.
I think I actually have that here.
So get this. I got an email from my network peeps, my internet service provider, that was like, hey... You could upgrade from fiber to the node to fiber to the premises. And I went, this is great. I'd love to do that. And then
play so much more Guilty Gear Strive.
Oh my God, imagine low ping. Oh. So I was like, yes, please. I would love to have that. I love gaming. And their exact response was, oh, so sorry. Actually, we can't give you fiber to the premises.
But you can buy a fiber to the premises priced plan for no benefit.
No, it was, we can't actually give it to you. Because it got delayed by the people that are organizing the National Broadband Network. And I went, okay, when's it delayed till? And they were like, oh, sometime in the next 8 years. And I was like, why did you tell me that I could get it if it's delayed until sometime in the next 8 years? Like, what is happening? What is going on? Anyway, the whole point of this story is that the boomers... have a whole new ecosystem.
Yeah, the dragon line.
The dragon line.
It's dragon line to the premises at the Silky Doll.
Exactly. They've got all the power. Yeah. They've got all the fiber communications. And look where
it
landed.
Mason is watching it all from his Pillar of Salt island prison. And he's crying because it's beautiful.
We get a flashback of him not playing basketball
and having surgery as a kid.
And he's sitting on a hill.
It's the Mason flashback we've all been waiting for.
And it lasts about a minute. And then he's crying. And then that's it.
The thing is... Like, maybe he's meant to have, like, enhanced cyber eyes or something. But we're seeing the skyline that he's looking at, and it just looks like the ordinary city from that distance.
It literally looks like a normal... It actually looks like a better version of Tokyo.
Yeah.
But, like...
A sort of mega version of
it. Yeah, but there's nothing... There's no boomerism about it. And he's like, it's beautiful.
Nothing has changed from where I'm sitting.
It's just weird.
Yeah. But that's Mason. That's what he's up to. He's become increasingly roboticized. He's got...
Big veins
coming out of him. Big pipes snaking in and out of his body.
And most importantly...
He's got fiber to the body.
He's got fiber to the beat. He's got big, beautiful smile, you know?
We've never seen him happy.
Actually, that is true. We have never seen him happy before. So our gang.
Yeah, they steal their, they don't steal their van. They get into their van and they're driving through the city looking for anywhere to go. And everywhere there's just boomers like having sex with cars or.
Yeah, living their best lives. Yeah. They're just like merging into anything they can get their filthy boomer hands on.
Where can we go? Oh, I can think of one place to go. They go to the beach.
And the beach doesn't
There's a beach
have...
with some parkland on the very edge of Mega Tokyo.
Yeah, there's no cleaner boomers. There's no fucking car boomers. There's no boomers having sex with other boomers. Just a normal, classic, 1920s-style Japanese beach.
And you might be thinking... 1920s?
I don't know.
You might be thinking, oh, maybe they're going to do a really ill-timed beach episode now. But no, because...
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, we're finally at the beach. Take everything off. Oh, really glad that we have this access to these bikinis underneath all of this stuff. And it's like, oh, how well timed.
There are some dudes living in the woods. They're all dudes.
Yeah, there's no women. I thought they were homeless.
I mean, they are functionally homeless.
Well, their new home.
They're living
home.
In the woods.
Yeah, their new home is nature.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
And obviously, the guy who stumbles upon them at first thinks the women in the hard suits are boomers.
Yeah.
Because why would you not?
Yep.
But they manage to calm down that misunderstanding off screen. And then they're just hanging out with these guys for the rest of the episode.
So they basically are just like zombie apocalypse survivors who are like, so we manage by just hunting in the city.
Yeah, we go into the city and scavenge for groceries and shit.
They keep
They've got a lot of canned coffee, cup noodles and beer.
They keep referring to it as hunting. And everyone's like, how dare they call it hunting when it's clearly scavenging.
Their leader, just use that word, but... their leader looks like two-player color scheme Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott. Who's Sam Elliott?
You might know him as Ron's opposite number from the other town in Parks and Recreation.
Ron's opposite number? Oh, the guy who's like, hey. And then Ron's all like, hey. Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
That's what the guy looks like, right?
Yeah.
So Sam, real Sam Elliott, big bushy white moustache, white hair. This guy, big bushy black moustache, black hair.
He's just a guy who knows what
just
he's about.
Chill energy.
And he's all like, I've seen some shit, boy.
The boomers.
They come at night, we go out hunting. That's about all I can
There's
say.
There's another guy who looks like, I want to say his name is Lucky Roo in One Piece. He's a member of Shanks' crew with sunglasses and a bandana.
Mm-hmm. He looks like the guy from F-Zero X.
Yeah, Samurai Goro.
Yeah. With the big pink racer.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called.
Maybe it's just called the Katana.
Might be like
dreams.
The Wonder Swan or something.
Yeah.
The Lucky Goose.
The Lucky Goose?
Some sort of bird, I think. Could be wrong.
Ah, the Falcon of Dreams. The oh, what's the...
The Falcon's already taken.
What's the...
Famously.
What's the big tall bird that's like...
An ostrich.
Spoonbill.
Ah,
yeah.
Or a shoebill.
Shoebill or spoonbill?
They're different birds.
Yeah. Maybe it's the shoebill.
Shoebill is the one that looks incredibly evil.
Yep. What's the spoonbill?
It looks very silly. It's got a sort of spoon-shaped bill.
Oh, no, it'd definitely be the shoebill. The shoebill looks terrifying. And it just walks around clattering its massive beak.
It's true.
Yeah. So anyway, Sam Elliott, two-player, is all like, we've been living in these woods for quite some time. Anyway, you're all going hunting tomorrow.
Yeah.
So,
and they go hunting, and it's like, the line of boomerization is right over there. Oh, no, it's spreading. Run.
Yeah, so a big vein comes down, they freak out, and then they run out of the shop, and they're
boomerization.
Like,
boomerization. That's what happens when you use Facebook too much.
Ugh.
Aha!
Got him.
But you know who else is revealed to be using Facebook too much at the very end of this episode?
Millennials!
Marky!
Oh, yes, okay, fair. Gen Z? I don't know. So...
Marky's... they're having a night party. Lena's getting drunk and like boring some guys, talking about how her manager sexually harassed her.
Yep. And they're all like, I'm just going to try and get away. It's like, you're listening to me, right?
Yeah.
Who gave her all this beer?
Pris is doing anime protagonists staring at Genom Tower.
Mm-hmm. It's like, what are you going to do now? The only thing I can.
And Cilia is being resolute and being like, I've got to settle all of this with my evil twin.
Yep.
So Nane sneaks away and to find that Marky in the van. Because Nane is also a citizen of being online, so she goes to where the computers are, and also her computer boyfriend.
Mm. Ooh. I don't know if that's healthy.
And she goes in to see that he has contracted poster's madness.
Oh my god.
He's obsessively using the computer, he's posting too much, he's looking at the code of the Matrix, and he's not even seeing the numbers anymore. He's just seeing the woman in the red dress.
He's just laughing, maniacally.
And then he starts glowing blue.
And then, as if to add to the ominous nature of the situation... Evil Cilia, Galatea,
Yeah, she's got an evil wizard outfit on now, and she's just doing her talking to machine language holographic jellyfish thing.
She's just beeping
and she's done
booping
for the last four episodes.
Yep.
And now Mason can't even interrupt her because he's a pillar of flesh.
Oh, God damn it.
She's also got poster's madness. She's using the machine language to post faster than anyone's ever posted before.
She's like, I found out how to use AR Facebook and now I'm unstoppable. Look how many likes I have, Liam.
Yeah.
Look how many fucking likes I
have. All of the boomers have to like my posts.
Look at them. Look at them. They flock to me. Mm-hmm. I'm an influencer now. Do you know what that means, Liam? Do you know what being an influencer entails now?
I'm sponsored by The Silky Doll, a lingerie shop I recently took over with my boomers.
Smash that like button. It really helps out the channel.
Yeah, the monkey starts glowing blue and like, oh no, he's possessed. We never saw this coming. End of episode.
Nene's all like, Marky.
Yeah. So I guess next episode, she'll have to shoot him in the back of the head, Abraham Lincoln style.
I'm sorry, but the blue that you're... the blue that you're glowing
he's
right
he's got
now.
Twitter blue. Blah, yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
Someone in the back is like, do you mean X? And then you're like, he's infected
don't
as well.
Yeah. Oh, we do have fun. Oh. Oh, look, I'm glad we found one good bit in this episode that wasn't a rambling 20-minute discussion of Australian telecommunications infrastructure.
I mean, I'll ramble about the NBN and be like, so these motherfuckers.
Highlights and lowlights.
Look, I know what my highlight is, and it's nice and easy. It's the bit where all of the women, right, they're getting naked, and we just got these three guys up there.
The boomers.
That are just there.
They're just hanging out. They're not even breaking the window yet.
Exactly. They're just having a great old time being like, oh, hey, we're here. And you're like, oh, no, a threat. And they just don't do anything.
Yep.
And you're like, are they not going to try and bang on the window? Are they not going
to... No, we've got a sense of fair play. We're going to wait for you to get into your fighting suits.
All right, fair enough. You know what? I can respect that. It's great.
Yeah.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
More about it. Yeah.
Cool.
What's your highlight?
My highlights.
Go on then.
It's got to be the shots of cyberized Mega Tokyo. Metal veins throughout everything. Horrific underground creatures openly feasting on energy resources.
Mm.
It's good shit.
Yeah. It's what we all want to be.
It's truly the cyber apocalypse we've been denied up until this point.
Yeah. Lowlights. We used the same sound for every single smash on the window. The same four songs.
There was this really lame comedy bit that just didn't land at all that we kind of skipped over in the recap, where after the ladies have gotten out of their hard suits, they obviously needed new clothes. So there's all these shots of Nene running through the woods. I mean, we don't see who it is. We just see someone, like clearly a female, like from the head down.
And we're like, oh, tension.
Someone's coming. And Nene enters the clearing where all the men and I think Celia's already there as well, just sitting. Mm-hmm. And she does like a look at me in my outfit sort of thing. And then no one reacts. And then she's just looking at the scene with like anime sweat drop.
Yep.
And it doesn't land well either in the scene or outside of it. It's just a nothing moment.
Yep.
But it had so much build up.
Yep. I'm shocked that that's your low light, but that's fine.
Why? What?
I thought it was fine. I was like, oh yeah, that's anime.
No, it was nothing. Like it was a real thud of a comedic beat.
A real get out of here.
Not even
of a choice.
Just a like, why would I even have a response to this?
Yeah, fair.
No one in the show did.
It's true.
But not even in like a why isn't anyone paying attention to me sort of thing. Just
yeah.
Like, here I am.
I'm wearing clothes. Yeah. That's it.
So, Nick.
Yes, it's me.
Tokyo has truly gone to shit.
I think you mean Mega Tokyo.
Sure, the Megalo City. Tokyo 3.
It's the only one of
all of these fucking anime set in the near future of Tokyo have so many different names for like what the new Tokyo is called. It's impossible to keep track of.
What are you talking
them.
About? It's all perfectly simple. You got Mega Tokyo, you got New Tokyo, you got Tokyo, you got Tokyo, which is different. Then you've got Tokyo 2, sometimes Tokyo 3, or 2 Tokyo, new with a U Tokyo. You've got Tokyo X, Tokyo XX, sometimes Tokyo with 4 X's.
Never 3.
4X gold. you've got Kamurocho.
You do have Kamurocho. I was imagining Kazuma Kiryu walking through the streets of cyberized Tokyo fighting boomers.
It would literally be like, what is it? It's not Dead to Right.
Dead Souls.
Dead
it
Souls.
Would be the start of his chapter of Dead Souls, where he tries to punch zombies to death.
He just walks through and is all like, What's with these guys? Weird.
It's a good bit. Like, most of that game has really mediocre shooter gameplay, but they put in a very simplified version of the brawler mechanics for when Kiryu gets to zombie town to just try and, like, punch zombies unconscious, but he can't because they're zombies. So eventually he starts using a gun like everyone else.
Because they're already dead.
In the next episode, entitled Hydra.
Hydra.
Nope.
Oh. Okay, well, Hydra has many heads, right? That's the Hydra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done, Nick.
I watched Hercules as a kid. So I reckon the dragon line's all meaty now to the boomers.
Yeah.
And they're all like, oh, this is great.
And those creatures are feasting on it.
Yeah. So what if they basically say, okay, we got to set out to the big tower over there so we can take on Galatea.
Yep.
But the entire episode is just going to be them prepping.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say it's them trying to get there, but like
on the journey,
things keep happening.
No, like, that'll be the next
there's,
one.
There's centipedes. Oh no, yeah. There's dragonline wires.
Sorry, that'll be the next episode. That'll be fine. So yeah, it'll just be them prepping and going, oh no, Marky did a bad.
Oh yeah, we've got to shoot Marky in the back of the head because he's possessed.
Yeah, so they'll basically be like, all right, we have X amount of time to get everything we need. Yeah. How are we going to get it?
What are they going to do about Marky?
I mean, I really want them to shoot him in the back of the head. Like, unironically. He has done nothing on this show, and I want him dead.
That's not true. He did get the psychic messages from imprisoned Galatea to go and unleash her.
Yeah, but that's it. He did one thing, and now he's, I guess, just...
And he's a loving brother to Celia Stingray.
Oh, I don't want him to be that. I don't want a loving brother. I reckon maybe they will... They'll snap him out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be like, oh no, I did it again.
I got the boomer disease.
I got the hard suit issue, but I don't have a hard suit. I don't know why I'm putting on this accent, but point being, he'll be snapped out of it and they'll be like, get out of here, Marky.
You're too dangerous to be around us.
Go with Nigel. And Nigel will be all like, Marky, it's okay.
Have some whiskey.
Yeah. And Marky will be all like, am I allowed to do this? And everyone will be like, chug. So they'll know it's like, oh, we have X amount of time before the boomers are down on us.
Yep.
Our home will be ruined.
The little forest that we're living in.
Little cove. Maybe they'll then decide, okay, we got to go there. But at the very end of the episode, after fighting some boomers, they'll say goodbye to their new friends.
Sure. What about Leon and Maceo?
Leon and Maceo. I mean, Leon can't come with them, so he'll go with the,
the forest crew. So here's where I'm at with the remainder of the episode. I remember the last two episodes pretty clearly because I taped them on SBS when they aired. I don't remember how we get there, though. So my guess is that if the boys are gradually reduced down one by one, whether by Lee staying behind or tragedy, I think Leon will be the one that goes the farthest with them, but won't go to the final point.
Yeah, exactly. So he'll have to leave.
Because he, you know, in that first half of the show, he had his own little protagonist plots going on. So he's got some protagonist cred for him to come along the furthest of the men.
Yeah, well, look, the butler, no way.
No.
He's leaving.
He can't even swim.
Yeah. Marky, maybe he'll come
I feel like Marky has to leave for their safety at this point because...
Or maybe they'll...
He can't be trusted.
Or maybe Marky will have the moment of, wait a minute, if she can talk through me, I can talk through her. Hey, just reverse engineer me so then we can find Galatea, you know? So maybe that's what they'll do. Or maybe they'll be like, listen, I've come to terms with the fact you have to deconstruct me and put me in your hard suits.
Ooh.
Something like that.
They're going to be one of those Iron Man
machine intelligences. Yeah, like a real Jarvis kind of deal. I don't know. I reckon after that, they'll just then go to the tower.
Yeah, they're going to go to Genom Tower, fight Galatea.
Yeah, they'll fight Galatea. But that's way down the line. That's like two more episodes out. Don't have to worry about it. And then obviously all the shit with Galatea will happen where, you know, they'll just say, hey.
What of Mason?
What about Mason? He's done. That was a wrap on Mason.
They're not going to kill Mason or fight him in a boss battle?
No, I reckon he'll just sit there forever. And they'll be like, he's a monument or something weird like that. And he'll be like, forever watching Mega Tokyo as it's never taken over by boomers again. You know? Or maybe they'll sever the dragon line.
And he'll die.
And be like, at least I died happy. Mega Tokyo.
My favorite web.
Oh, wait, no, the Night Saber's here. Oh, God. And then, something like that. That's what I reckon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out all of that and more next time on Bubblegum Crisis Tokyo 2040. But until then, to...
be continued.